Good morning. Good morning, everyone. My Bible is open to Hebrews, the sixth chapter. You need to open to Hebrews, the sixth chapter as well. That will be the verse from which we start every lesson in this series on hope. As we're thinking about hope and about what hope means and how to bring hope into our lives, I'm excited to have the chance to preach this series here. So thankful for the elders and the invitation to come and to be with you. Said in the Bible class hour, I just love being in Northwest Arkansas. Something very special about this corner of the universe. And I do have great memories of being here 5 years ago, a church full of people enthusiastic for the Word of God, people who wanted to hear God's Word and then bring it and install it in their lives. Here's a game plan. This is what the week is going to look like. And I would particularly give attention, want to think a little bit this evening about disappointment, trials, and tribulations, and where hope figures into all of that. But I especially want to encourage you to invite your friends to be with us tomorrow. Sometimes we give an invitation for a whole week, and there's a lot of, focus on Monday night, because so many people don't get the connection in hope and peace. And what many people are looking for in our world today is some kind of peace from the turmoil and anxiety that's being driven all around us. We'll talk about the assurance of salvation on Tuesday night, Lord willing. And then on Wednesday, going to think a little bit about how to work with people and encourage them to follow the way of the cross. That's the game plan. That's where we want to go this week. That's the things that we want to be involved in, because we're thinking about hope from Hebrews 6. From Hebrews 6 and in verse 18. In Hebrews 6 and verse 18, by two unchangeable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we who have fled for refuge might have strong encouragement to hold fast to the hope set before us. And we have this as a sure and steadfast anchor of the soul, a hope that enters into the inner place behind the curtain where Jesus has gone as a forerunner on our behalf. It is incredible to me that despite the advances in technology, in medicine, in transportation, in communication, despite the many good things that are happening, our world is very short on hope. There is a tremendous lack of optimism about our future. Have you noticed that? I've thought about that a little bit, particularly in connection with some things that used to go on in the United States. They were called World's Fairs. You remember World's Fairs? You ever been to a World's Fair? Well, you haven't if you're less than 40 years old, because we haven't had a World's Fair in a long time. These are some pictures from the Seattle World's Fair done in 1962. And as you're looking at that, you can just see that fair was just bustling with optimism. Everything was pointing up. The Space Needle that was built in Seattle then was symbolic of that, as all kinds of new technology, solar power, nuclear power, prototypes of new homes, new cars, all of this got rolled out in 1962 because people felt like we were moving forward into a better tomorrow. And I'm really not kidding when I say if you're not older than 40, you can't have gone to one of these, because the last time we had a World's Fair was in Knoxville, Tennessee in 1982. Been a while, hadn't it? One U.S. president attended a World's Fair and he said, "These fairs are timekeepers of progress. They record the world's advancement." Is that why we're not doing that anymore? Because we don't think that we are advancing? Is that our attitude about the future? And somebody may be saying, well, of course that's our attitude about the future. Our future looks hopeless. Don't you know, Mark, about online bullying, global supply chain problems, the war in Ukraine, China sending weird balloons, pandemic? I mean, everything that could possibly go wrong is going wrong. And the result of that is what? A lot of people don't have a lot of hope. That's affecting us across the board. It's particularly affecting our young people. The CDC recently released a study that said from the years 2009 to 2021, the share of American high school students who said they have persistent feelings of hopelessness went from 26% to 44%. That's almost double, from a quarter of the population to almost half. In fact, that same study said that during the pandemic, one in four teenage girls seriously considered suicide. It's not just teenage girls either. Every category of mental health measurables for our young people shows that they are off the chart on sadness, loneliness, depression, and feelings of hopelessness. And it's not just young people. Boston University School of Public Health revealed recently that the elevated rate of depression that persisted into 2021 has now worsened. About 33% of American adults have some kind of problem with depression and sadness and hopelessness. One expert said the sensation now is that things are terrible and nothing can be done, nothing will change, and nothing will help it. Can I ask you, is that where you are this morning? I want you to know that I believe in hope. I believe in the hope that anchors us. Hebrews, the 6th chapter, talks about the hope that anchors our soul, that gives a bounce to the Christian step and an optimistic lean to everything that we do. I believe in hope. And this series is designed to help you be filled up with what every Christian can have from the Word of God: genuine, God-given, Christ-centered, helmet of salvation-wearing hope. Now, my game plan then for this morning is I want to stack up some Bible and just show you how important hope is to the Christian. And then I want to talk a little bit about wrong kinds of things people hope in. I want to talk about the secret to the Christian's hope that most people don't know about. And then we'll even talk a little bit about how to get some hope. I hope this sermon will be over by Thursday. But let's see if we can get started with this sermon by just noticing how central hope really is to the Christian life. And let's work that out of 1 Peter, the first chapter. Got your Bible ready? Let's work in the Word of God. It's 1 Peter, the first chapter that I'm reading here, in 1 Peter chapter 1 and in verse 3. In 1 Peter 1 and in verse 3, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to His great mercy, He's caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, it's undefiled, it's unfading, it's kept in heaven for you." In fact, if you look at Romans 15, the passage our brother read a moment ago, what's the purpose of Scripture? Why do we have our Bibles? In Romans 15:4, one of the purposes of Scripture is what? "The things that were written in former days," Romans 15:4, "was written for our instruction, that through endurance and through the encouragement of Scripture, we might have..." There it is. "We might have hope." In fact, if you look at verse 13 in Romans 15, Romans 15, 13, "May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit you may abound in hope." I don't want a little bit of hope. I don't want an eyedropper, just, "Oh, let me just wait and squeeze out." No. I want to abound in hope. That's how Christians live. That's who we are in the gospel. In fact, in 1 Thessalonians, if you'll look at 1 Thessalonians 1, hope is just all over the New Testament. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, Paul says in 1 Thessalonians 1 and verse 3 that he remembers about the Thessalonians. He remembers before our God and Father your work of faith, and your labor of love, and your steadfastness of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, hope is so important to the Christian, it changes how we treat bad times and tragedies. So in 1 Thessalonians 4, look at verse 13. In 1 Thessalonians 4 and in verse 13, the apostle says there, "We don't want you to be uninformed, brothers, about those who are asleep, that you may not grieve as others do who have no hope. See the difference hope makes in our life? We're not like the pagans around us. We are distinctively unique because we operate from the basis of hope. And that's our text. Look again at that Hebrews 6 passage. Just going to read this about a gazillion times this week. In Hebrews 6, notice how the Christian doesn't just run on hope. It's not just the fuel in our discipleship. It is the anchor to who we are. Hebrews 6, God can't lie, verse 18. So we're holding on to this hope. It is, verse 19, a sure and steadfast anchor of the soul. I'm going to run everything through that verse. Are you anchored? When the strong tides lift and the cables strain, is your hope holding you in place? So we're thinking about that. Maybe we just need to be very specific about what we're hoping in. What's hope all about? Hope is all about filling in that blank. That's exactly where hope lands. Because of this, I will be okay someday. Whatever it is that you're putting in that blank, that's your hope, isn't it? Now, quick question. What are most people putting in the blank? Answer, money. No ifs, ands, or buts about that. That's what most people are hoping in. Money, wealth. Gives you some abilities, gives you some power, gives you some choices. Put money in that, because I got money, everything's going to work out okay. If you can't put money in that, what are you putting in there? Maybe celebrity, maybe fame. Lots of young people, that's what they're thinking about. I'm going to be famous, I'm going to be an influencer, I'm going to go viral on TikTok, going to make money being famous. How about that? Put those two things together. That's my hope. That's what's going to make sure that everything is going to be okay for me. Let me ask you this. Is that strong? You anchor to that? Anchor to wealth? Wealth can't be taken away in strong storms, in the turbulence of life. If you've got money, oh, come on. We know better than that. Inflation, recessions, stock market crash, world crises, they can wipe wealth out in a moment. Fame, you tie your life to that? Oh, come on. We all know a celebrity who maybe takes an unpopular stance and they get canceled. Or celebrity, their fame fades away and you start talking to somebody and you say, hey, you remember so-and-so? And they say, who are you talking about? I never even heard of that person. Those things aren't strong. Those things don't last. But it's not just fame and money that people try to stuff into that line. What about friends? Hey, friends are great. Friends are a blessing from God. But Jesus had 12 friends. One of them sold him out to the cops and the 11 ran away. What about family? Hey, you know what? My family's going to make sure everything's going to be okay. Family's great. Family's not permanent, is it? Some of us are getting to that place where our parents are a difficult time in their life. Suddenly, maybe for the first time in our lives, we're realizing mom and dad not always going to be here, are they? See? Family's not permanent. What else are you putting there in the blank? Technology. That's it. Technology. You know, life's getting better because we're just inventing all this cool stuff. Really? Really? Going to put all your faith in technology? Hey, try this when you get home. Get out your iPhone and talk to Siri and tell Siri, you know, you're pouring milk on your cereal and you don't want to forget to put the milk back in the refrigerator, right? Just tell Siri, Siri, remind me in 10,000 years to put the milk back in the fridge. And you know what Siri will say? Siri will say, I'm setting a reminder for 10,000 years from now. There's a little lack of interfacing there with common sense, isn't there? I mean, is the milk still going to be good in 10,000 years? Am I going to be here to that? Oh, no, Siri will set you a reminder. You putting your faith in that kind of technology? Come on. Do better than that. All the things that we try to jam into that line don't last, can't last, won't last. Listen to Jesus in Matthew the 6th chapter in verse 19. In Matthew chapter 6 and verse 19, as part of the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus is talking about what anchors us. And he says this in Matthew 6 and verse 19, don't lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroy and where thieves don't break in and steal. Why can't we listen to Jesus? Why can't we see through the false hopes of this life? Particularly after we've been through a pandemic. When so much was taken from us, so much wealth was lost, so much health was lost, so many lives were lost. How can we possibly, after what we learned through all of that, believe for even a moment that there's anything here that I can anchor my life to? What I'm saying this morning is that we want more than that. We want something better. We want to hope that tomorrow will be different, and we want to know that it's going to be different because what we put our hope in won't disappoint us. Maybe the reason there's so much hopelessness in our world today is because what people are hoping for, they can't attain wealth and celebrity, and if they do attain it, it doesn't really anchor them. Got to do better than that. What's better than that? You know where I'm going with that. Look with me in Colossians 1. In Colossians 1 and verse 5, listen to the apostle as he warns us about anchoring into false hopes. In Colossians 1 and 5, we have the hope that's laid up for you in heaven. Look in the book of Titus with me, please. In Titus, just watch how hope is such a theme in Paul's writing to the young preacher Titus. In Titus 1:2, here he says, I'm talking to you, Titus, about the hope of eternal life, which God, who never lies, promise before the ages begun. In chapter 2, what's the Christian life about? The Christian life is about the grace of God, verse 11, that trains us to renounce ungodliness and worldly passions and to be self-controlled because we're what? Verse 13, waiting for our blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. In fact, in chapter 3, Paul goes on to say in verse 7 that we're being justified by His grace so that we can become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. That's our hope. The Christian's hope is the hope of eternity with God. Let's just think about it. Pandemic, take that away? No. What if you get fired at work? What if they have layoffs? Take that hope away? No. What if everybody's mean to you tomorrow at school? What if you get canceled on social media? Is that going to... No. That hope is absolutely rock solid certain. Still feeling it? Starting to feel some of that anchoring now? I'm anchoring myself to the hope of heaven, to eternity with God. But you know, even as I say that, particularly looking at a row of young people, I know there's an issue with that. Mark, that's so great. Talk about heaven. That's so great. When do you go to heaven? Go to heaven when you die. But what if you're 15? When are you going to die? Well, if the average lifespan in the United States of America today is 75, and you're 15, then you are 4 lifetimes away from realizing your hope. I mean, even if you're 35, you still got more time left, according to the statistical surveys, than you've already lived. I mean, that's a long time. In fact, even if you're past 75, I mean, still, what do we think? Yeah. That end point, I don't know exactly where it is, but it's way over there. Isn't that right? So where is this hope business that's supposed to make my life better tomorrow when tomorrow is so far down the line? Isn't that what we think? Is that why a lot of Christians give up? Maybe decide to invest themselves in some other kind of hope, and I'll pick that Christianity thing up later? Is that why our young people get discouraged? Because all we're talking about is something that's going to happen a long time from now? Can I share with you a secret about hope? Can I share with you something about the Christian's hope that an awful lot of Christians don't seem to know? Christianity is not just about what's so far away. Look with me in your Bibles in Philippians. Look in Philippians chapter 2. In Philippians chapter 2 and in verse 12. In Philippians chapter 2 and verse 12, there Paul says this. Philippians 2 and verse 12, "Therefore, my beloved, as you've always obeyed, so now not only as in my presence, but much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you to will and to work for His good pleasure." Paul doesn't see salvation as something that's way far away. Paul says God is at work in your life right now. You see that? That Christianity isn't all future tense. Paul's talking in the present tense. And it's not just Paul. In the Hebrew epistle, in Hebrews 13, in Hebrews the 13th chapter, look right at the end of that epistle in verse 20. In Hebrews the 13th chapter, in Hebrews 13 and in verse 20, there the Hebrew writer says, "May the God of peace," Hebrews 13 and 20, "May the God of peace, who brought you again, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, by the blood of the eternal covenant, may He equip you with everything good that you may do His will, working in us that which is pleasing in His sight through Jesus Christ. To Him be glory forever and ever. Amen." God is doing what? Verse 21. He is working in us. Let me show you one more passage. Look in Romans 8. In Romans chapter 8. In Romans chapter 8, you want to talk about abounding in hope? You want to talk about God working in our lives? In Romans 8, in Romans 8 and verse 28, we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good for those who are called according to His purpose. That passage is often badly misused. What's the purpose of God? Verse 29, "For those whom He foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son." You know what God's doing? God's working on me to shape me into the mold of Jesus Christ. He's chiseling away. He's whittling away. He's carving away. He's adding on all the things in my life so that I can be like Jesus. You know when God's doing that? God's doing all that way down the line when I finally die. Instead, no. When's God doing that? God's doing that now. God is at work in my life right now, which means Christianity is a lot more than just something in our future. Christianity is an anchor now because God is molding and shaping and working in our lives now so that we will reach that far off goal of heaven. Still got your Bibles open? Look at Ephesians 2. Here's a great passage to help us think about this. In Ephesians chapter 2, look at verse 10. In Ephesians chapter 2, let's just have verse 8 and 9. In Ephesians 2, verses 8 and 9, "For by grace you have been saved through faith. This is not your own doing, it's the gift of God. It's not the result of works, so that no one may boast." Don't get carried away with yourself. Think it's all about you and you're so amazing. God is at work in our lives. Doing what? Verse 10. "We are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." I love that metaphor of walk. Paul uses that all the time. He will use the expression walk more than 25 times in his writing. And the idea behind that is that we are We're going somewhere. We are on a journey, but we are not alone in that journey. God is walking with us, and God is working through us. Think about it. We don't get saved, and then we're just taken directly to heaven. No, we get saved, and we stay here. Why? Verse 10, because God has prepared stuff for us to do. And as we do that stuff, He is at work in our lives to bring us to Him, to make us more like Christ. If our hope is about the future looking different, then the Christians have the very best kind of hope, because you know what? I'm going to be different in the future. Because God's working in me. Because God's working in my life with these good works that He's prepared beforehand. God is shaping and molding and changing me now. Not just way off in the future, right now. So that I can reach that amazing goal of heaven. This is what so many Christians don't know. It's not all future. Certainly the future is the brightest it can possibly be for the Christian. But the future will be realized because of what God is doing right now. We're going somewhere. And we know where we're going, we know the destination, and we know we're gonna get there because God's at work in our lives to bring us home to Him. I follow a Twitter account, and every day the guy tweets the same thing. Christian, you're one day closer to heaven. Ain't it so? See how attainable now the Christian's hope really is? It's meaningful, it's real, and it makes every single day genuine, because every day is another day when God can work in my life to get me to heaven. I may not always understand the working of God. I may be like Joseph, got sold into Egypt, probably didn't understand what was going on to him. Maybe like Esther, a little afraid to let God work through me today. It may be that I'm like Lydia or the Ethiopian eunuch, and God has providentially placed me in exactly the right place so that I can take advantage of the opportunities to serve Him. But my hope is heaven. And I am hoping in God's transforming work in my life now to get me there then. Christianity is a whole lot more than something great that's going to happen to me when I expire. Christianity is going on right now. That's my hope. And as a bonus, I'll tell you this. That means that as I look backward in my life, I see a whole lot of things that at the time seemed like random coincidences or maybe even meaningless moments. And as I look backwards now, what do I see? Yeah, God was at work in my life to bring me closer to Him. Don't you see the same thing? See how strong our hope is? It provides for the future. It makes us alive in the present, and it even animates our past because we're trusting in the working of God. Now, I ought to say something then in the direction of how to get some more hope. Let me just share with you very briefly a couple of key ideas. First and foremost, we need to do a better job in our life of shutting out the hope killers. You know who I'm talking about? In the Bible, that'd be like who? The 10 spies. Remember that story in the book of Numbers? Everybody's ready to go into the land of promise. Everybody's excited about it. We're all about it. Lots of hope. 10 spies come back from looking at the land of Canaan, and in a matter of minutes, they murdered everybody's hope because they said God isn't going to work. We're going to get mulched by the Canaanites. They're bigger than we are. They're stronger than we are. They live in fortified cities. We can't go in there. And everybody just sat down and gave up. And in our life today, watch. There's an awful lot of 10 spy talk. There's an awful lot of people who are saying we can't and we won't and it'll never work. And it's no good and you won't. Hear that all the time? Social media, 24-hour news cycle, clicking on this headline. We end up reading about all the troubles all around the world. Oh, look at this war that's breaking out here. Oh, look about this shortage here. Oh, here's a tourist. He was in Peru and a llama ate him. Oh my. All these things that just terrify us. You know what we can do about any of that stuff? Zero. Nada. Nothing. They didn't consult me on the war in Ukraine. They consult you? No, they did not. You know what you can do about this global shortage? Zero. Nada. You know what you can do about llamas eating people? Yeah. Not one thing. We're going to have to give all of that to the Lord. God, you'll have to handle that today. I can't handle that today. I'm not going to let people kill my hope by constantly feeding me bad news. Let me give you a verse. Proverbs chapter 12. Look in Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 25. In Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 25, here's the words of the wise man. If you're feeling hopeless today, consider if maybe you're allowing a lot of people in your life, a lot of your feeds in your life, to kill your hope. Proverbs 12, 25, anxiety in a man's heart weighs him down. A good word makes him glad. Don't let people ruin your hope. Read Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 6. Jesus talks about how pointless it is to be worried about everything that we can't control. We'll let the Lord handle that instead of being a hope, letting people kill our hope. You know what we're going to do? We're going to be hope sharers. Hope sharers. We'll show you this in the Bible in 1 Samuel. In 1 Samuel 17, this is the story of David going out to meet the Philistine bully. In 1 Samuel 17, my favorite part of this story is in verse 45. In 1 Samuel 17, 45, I want you to think about the Israelite soldiers who were standing outside their tents watching David walk towards Goliath. They were cowards. They were shaking in their sandals. They were afraid. 40 days, Goliath's been challenging them, and nobody's done anything about it. No hope. Listen to David. 1 Samuel 17, 45. David said to the Philistine, "You come to me with a sword and with a spear and with a javelin. I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you defied. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hand." See it? See it? See it? God's working. It's not about me. It's about what God is fixing to do. The Lord's going to work. The Lord will deliver you into my hand. I'll strike you down and cut off your head. I'll give the dead bodies of the host of the Philistines this day to the birds of the air, to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know there's a God in Israel, and that all this assembly may know that the Lord saves not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and He will give you into our hand. Can you see every Israelite soldier starting to stiffen his spine? You see every Israelite soldier starting to buckle that sword on? Yeah, that's right. That's right. I'm in the army of the Lord. That guy's got it. I know what he's saying. God is on our side. Let's go. Why are the people of God not more like David? We need to share our hope that God is at work. Share our belief in heaven and that God can get us there. In fact, in 1 Peter 3, this is our job. In 1 Peter 3 and verse 15, we are to honor Christ as Lord. In 1 Peter 3 and verse 15, to honor Christ the Lord as holy, we are to always be prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks us a reason for the hope that's in you, yet do it with gentleness and respect. We are the people who have hope in a hopeless world, and we need to talk about hope. Where do we get that hope? We get that hope from reading our Bible. That's our passage that the brother read a moment ago. The Scriptures are written to give us strong encouragement and hope. Don't just do your daily Bible reading, snap your Bible shut and say, "Okay, got that done. I don't even know what that was about." Read your Bible and look for hope. Look for the work of God. Look for people who let God work in their lives. Watch and see how God keeps His promises. Watch and see how God brings people to Himself. Improbable and crazy circumstances, God overcomes all of it. And when we see that, when we read that, when we know that, it gives us hope that God will do that for us as well. It's all about hope. It's all about the working of God right now to bring us home to heaven. It's all about having a hope that is an anchor that can hold us in the storms of life. Now, last summer, my wife and I got to travel to the United Kingdom. An amazing 12-day cruise, 9 ports. We're traveling with 70 Christians. It was a great trip. Part of that trip, we went to Cork, Ireland. Really neat Irish little city. We're taking this tour, and the bus driver drives us past this funeral home. He says, "Hey, look at that funeral home." I'm looking at a funeral home thinking, I didn't come all this way to see funeral homes. He says, "Did anybody notice what's next to that funeral home?" I thought, "I don't know. What's next to that funeral home?" He said, "Hey, that blue building right there, that's a bar. And the name of that bar is Shin A." It looks like Sin E, but in Gaelic it's pronounced Shin A. And he said, "Do you know what that means?" He said, "It means all done. So you die and you're all done. And your friends come to the funeral, and then they go next door and they get drunk, because that's all life is. You're all done." That's the most hopeless thing I have ever seen. I don't know how people get up in the morning and all they have to look forward to is dying, and their friends are going to get drunk, because when you die, you're all done. Christians know better. We know that when we die, we're not all done. We know that because of the work of God in our lives, we will be conducted through the door of death to the greatest and most wonderful existence ever, what we were created for, to be with our God for all eternity. We're not all done, because we believe in hope. The hope of eternity, the hope of heaven, and the hope that our mighty God will work in our lives to bring us there. I believe in hope. It anchors our soul. Let's pray about it. Would you pray with me, please? Oh Lord God, we're awed by Your power and might, but we are so deeply impressed, Father, with Your grace and love that sent Your Son here to die for us, that gives us Your Word through Your Spirit, that we might know You and how to obey You and live for You. And we pray, Father, that You will instill deep in our hearts that hope that comes when we know You work in our lives to bring us home to You. Give us more faith, more love, but especially, Father, more hope. It's in Christ that we pray, and amen. If you're here this morning, maybe you're new to this Christianity thing, and you need to know more about how we can have this hope in Jesus Christ. Who is He? What's He about? Why do we trust Him? Then I sure would like to talk with you more. We'll be standing in the back after services. You grab me. We'll set up a time. We'll drink some coffee. We'll open the Bible. Help you better understand Jesus Christ, the Son of God. But if you're here this morning and you know all that stuff, it's not a data problem. It's not that you need more information. It's an action issue. You need to act on what you know. You need to activate your faith. so that you can have the hope of heaven. God will work to wash away your sins this morning as you are baptized into Jesus Christ. That's the promise of Acts 22:16. It's the promise of Colossians 2 and verse 12. God is ready to work. Are you ready to trust Him in the waters of baptism? Maybe you're a Christian here this morning and your hope is flagging and you just need your brethren to put their arms around you and encourage you and lift you up and help you. We'd love to do it. Particularly if you find sin in your life, if we could help you to repent and push that away so that you'll have hope in God, we'd love to help you. Can we help you become a Christian? Could we help you be a better Christian? Could we help you be filled with hope that anchors your soul? Make your way down front while we stand, while we sing.